You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Let's get our Bibles open now to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because we continue to want to hear from God and His Word, and this is what we're doing together. Our sermon title today is this: More Fuel for Life on Mission. More Fuel for Life on Mission. If you don't have a Bible today, you can find one in front of you in the chair, and we'd love for you to open up your Bible to 2 Corinthians found in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians will be in chapter 2. Why do we say that? Because there is no message apart from the Bible. Nothing to say other than what God has said, and we seek to explain it, apply it, and be transformed by it. So this is one of the great blessings of going through 2 Corinthians, is how it ties so well into our year-long theme. I hope you've seen some signage up this week in the parking lot and in the foyer in terms of our year-long theme of living life on mission for Jesus Christ. We're on this journey together. In some ways, again, this is taking us through the whole year. In different parts, we will and stop and dwell upon that. And so we're on this long journey together. And listen, every long road trip requires refueling. Or for those EV drivers, requires recharging, okay? But it is necessary to make a pit stop. You have to do that when you're on a long journey. Why do you make a pit stop? You regroup, you refuel, and you reinvigorate again for the journey ahead. So this is what we're doing today in terms of our year-long theme, which just happens to coincide so wonderfully with our current series in 2 Corinthians as well. We're going to stop today and get some premium fuel for the road ahead. We're going to clear the windshield and to get some increased visibility for what's ahead. We're going to throw out the garbage that we've accumulated. Who loves to throw out the garbage when you stop at a gas station? Yeah, me too. Get rid of that. That's disgusting. Get rid of that. However, listen, we don't need to buy a Red Bull because we have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? And that's especially a shout out to Pastor Carl right there. He knows, all right? He knows. It's an inside joke from many years ago, okay? So it's a great day to fuel up for the call of our lives, which of course is just to be on mission for the Lord. So just by way of context and a bit of intro, look at verse 12 now. So chapter 2, verse 12, take a look. Paul says this: When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, this is what he says, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. In verses 12 and 13, Paul's explaining again recent events and recent travels. You can also, as you read verses 12 and 13, you can hear his burden and his anxiety for his brothers, and specifically here, his anxiety for, again, Titus. It's interesting that he describes that an open door for the Lord was available to me, but it just shows how burdened and anxious he was, that even though he had this open door for ministry, his mind is not at rest, his heart was not at rest, and he took leave, and he says, and went on to Macedonia. So this is another example so far in 2 Corinthians. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, so far this letter from one angle is very tough. There's a lot going on that's very difficult. If you read 2 Corinthians from a certain lens in chapters 1 and 2, you might even say it's depressing. Why would you say that? Well, Paul has recounted his severe affliction in Asia to the point he despaired of life itself, and he thought he was going to die, okay? Then he recounts his serious criticism coming against him, severe attacks upon his character. Then he describes the significant pain he experienced at Corinth when he confronted the church and all their sin. I mean, the church of Corinth was a disaster in so many ways. And now he recounts his inability to be at rest or to settle in Troas due to the longing to see his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? So, like, Paul's really in a tough spot. In many, many ways, he's describing the trials, the suffering, the hardship, the despair, the discouragement that he was faced with. The church that's not listening, all this stuff, right? There's so much going on. But this is where Paul's such a help to us. Paul's honest about the trial. We love that. He's honest about the trial, but then he uses that to declare the theology of the triumph that he knows he has in Jesus Christ. Paul is willing to detail the suffering to set up the greater understanding or hope of his Savior. Okay? This is exactly what happens as we now look at verse 14. And again, it's important for us, loved ones. Paul is going through it. Paul suffers. Paul's in trial. Paul is being opposed. Paul has every reason to kind of be down and stay down and give up. What does he do, right? See, he uses the truth to bring transformation in his life. Paul renews his mind. This is so massive for the Christian life, loved ones. So massive. We got to renew our minds to refresh our heart. If we're not in the truth, we won't know the truth. We can't be transformed by it. Paul is suffering, but he renews his mind with the truth of God's word, with the hope and the theology he has to refresh his heart again as to his purpose, his existence, and ultimately his future. Paul's so good at this. And if you want to make it in the Christian faith, then you must be good at this too. If you're going to persevere, if you're going to endure, if you're going to last, if you're going to live life on mission, life is going to throw stuff at you and me, and you must renew your mind with what is true on a daily basis to refresh your heart and to keep going. Again, Paul, this is his secret. This is what he does over and over again, and today our passage is no exception as well. Let's look at verse 14 now, okay? Look what he does. So just this abrupt change in verse 14, but thanks be to God. Wow, you know, so discouraged, so depressed, so suffering, but then he says, but thanks be to God. Why? Well, who in Christ, one of his favorite phrases, always, not sometimes, always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. What a beautiful verse that is. I hope it's underlined or something. Verse 15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God. Wow. Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Interesting. To one, a fragrance from death to death. Wow. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? I so agree. It's a rhetorical question. No one. For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity. But as men of sincerity, as, look at this, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Wow. What a passage. So what is this? This is significantly more fuel for our life on mission. You say, can you help me understand that? Yes, that's exactly my job today. I'm trying to help you to understand that. Point number one is this. We are guaranteed victory by God. In Jesus Christ, we are guaranteed victory by God. Verse 14a. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. Paul here, when he speaks of a triumphal procession, he's drawing on Roman triumphal, the imagery of a Roman triumphal procession. A Roman triumphal procession in the ancient days was a major public parade celebrating, listen, a major victory over a foreign nation or a foreign people, celebrating ultimately the general, again, who led the charge to defeat a conquered people. It was a massive celebration. It might happen once in someone's lifetime. The parade included the victorious general riding at the back in his chariot with four horses. Like, picture the movie Gladiator. You saw some scenes in there or others where you've seen, again, the chariot riding, again, and the general in there, and just the pomp, the expression, the celebration, the grandeur, the people, the masses. In front of the general would march the victorious soldiers who were part of the battle, who conquered. It would also include the captured prisoners of war who would be there in utter humiliation and ultimately led in the end, again, almost certainly awaiting their execution. The parade would also include parading the spoils of war, all the things that they had gathered from, again, conquering the people. Incense would also be burned along the route, filling the air with fragrance. It would fill the air in a great way with an unmistakable aroma that all would be so, again, cognizant of and smelling, obviously. This parade, again, was a major celebration of victory and was also a humiliating display of submission and defeat for those who were captured. There is debate regarding the interpretation of verse 14 as to where Paul is situated in the Roman triumphal procession. I believe it's best understood here that Paul and then Christ's followers are being led by God in Christ as soldiers in the triumphal procession where Jesus Christ is the ultimate general, meaning in Christ, victory is guaranteed, which is why Paul says, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. I mean, that's a major statement, again, of the reality of following the Lord and Jesus Christ. You are ultimately led to victory. Again, now, in Christ, who always leads us in triumphal procession, this doesn't mean that the Christian life doesn't come with suffering and hardship. I mean, this is all of 2 Corinthians so far, and the Bible's very, very clear that you follow Christ, and you will experience, again, suffering and hardship. Again, the letter we're in right now, super clear. But rather, what we learn? It's through suffering and through trial that victory is certain and victory is guaranteed. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, again, Paul says to the same church, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ, right? We are victorious over sin and death and Satan, right? So we know that, and that is something we have to always be aware of and celebrate and again, marvel at as well. So Paul here is introducing some very powerful and important theology, which is what? In Jesus Christ, we can never lose. Oh, that was a good spot for an amen. It really was. Too late. I mean, use more chances, right? The reality is, right, again, as believers, and like Paul knows us, even if we die, we win. Especially if we die, we win. You ever thought about and noticed how much of winning drives our society? You ever noticed that? Like billions and billions and billions of dollars are spent in the pursuit of winning. There's massive amounts of idolatry that is moving towards, again, winning. Just so much is invested, again, in the desire to win. I mean, just taken recent weeks, what is it, like a week ago, the Blue Jays, right? Ever heard of them? Well, like, the whole nation all of a sudden is investing heavily with, like, heart, soul, and mind in a baseball team where, like, millions of people weren't even cheering for the Jays a couple months ago, right? But all of a sudden, they start winning. And then everyone's like, yeah, let's win. If they were losing, no one cares, right? Or hardly anyone, right? A few kind of hardcore fans, right? But winning all of a sudden gathers everyone. It's exciting and all the money, all the stuff, whatever. But what happens? Oh, they lose. I'm sorry, they lose, right? Oh, right? I'm disappointed too, right? But again, this is life. But the reality, again, everyone wants to win. Listen, it's just in Jesus Christ, you will never lose. Right? Yeah, there you go. I love that theology. I love it so much because it's true. This is what Paul is saying. This is the truth he constantly recounts. Why? Because when it's so hard and when there's suffering and difficulty and opposition and despair, to remind ourselves, wait, in the end, this is going to end very well. In the end, we're going to make it. In the end, we sang. We see Jesus Christ face to face. In the end, the hope of glory. In the end, the reality of death gone and tears wiped away. In the end, it's coming soon. I sat there this morning and as I looked out, when I get up in the morning, it's always dark and I put my little light on. I'm looking outside and the one good thing about some snow on the ground was that it was giving a little more light to the outside, which kind of came on the inside. But I was looking outside this morning. I'm just like, man, like, so I turned 51 this year. I'm just like, this life going by pretty fast. I'm just like, it's not like, again, listen, there's death all around us all the time. This week, death all around us, life and death. I'm just like, man, it's going to be by, like, this is going to be by so fast. Robbie, are you ready? Robbie, what are you living for? I'm telling you, like, just the stuff I ask myself all the time, reminder, what are you living for? What are you trying to do? Like, what are you investing in? Like, what is the purpose of your existence? Right? Understanding, again, life on mission for Christ, life on mission for me to be able to get up and open the word right now, like, oh, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for the grace involved in that. You're no different. Reminding ourselves, again, in the midst when things are so difficult, in Jesus Christ, we have zero chance of losing. So we're on this life on mission. It is the best mission ever because you can't lose. And you're trying to recruit people to join you on this winning mission for Jesus Christ. Paul is reminding himself of this, and he is always so encouraged by that. Point number two is this now. A fuel for life on mission. We are led by God to spread the fragrance of God now. We are led by God to spread the fragrance of God. Look at the rest of verse 14. But thanks be to God who in Christ, I love that phrase, always leads us in triumphal procession and through us, wow, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. So In verse 14, we are led by God, believers, genuine believers, led by God in Christ. And through us, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God. I think Paul here, he's seeing by faith this sovereign, unstoppable leadership of God. He's like, we're in God's team. If God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I think Paul sees this triumphal parade of Christ that is going to move throughout the entire Roman Empire, like inconceivable odds, humanly speaking, not a chance. But see, it's God who's leading us, in Christ who's leading us, always leading us to spread the fragrance of the knowledge. God has a plan, and God will not be stopped, okay? So this is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Jesus Christ says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, right? Jesus says, I hold the authority of the universe. I'm commissioning you. We say, I like our chances, right? Right, right? God, Jesus has all the power and the authority. Make disciples all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them. And then at the end, behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Behold, I'm with you. So the book ends to the Great Commission, the promise of God's power in Christ, the promise again of Jesus Christ's presence with his church for now and always. I like your chances. I think that's what Paul knows. Of course he knows this. And he's like, we are always led by God in Christ to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of God. Wow, 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 wow. Feel for your life a mission. As we go out here locally, nationally, globally, again, we have the power of Christ and we have the presence of Christ guaranteed as we seek to do that. This is why the church has done what it's done now for 2,000 years. It's not us, it's him. And he guarantees it. So again, in these Roman processions, right, incense was a big part of it. Incense would fill the air with a fragrance, an unmistakable fragrance. This fragrance symbolized victory for the conquering side and symbolized death for those who have been captured and prisoners. This becomes a powerful metaphor for what Christ's followers are. Listen, this is beautiful. The fragrance of the knowledge of God. So God leads us, right? We are led by God individually as a church. We are led by God to be the fragrance of God, to spread, again, the fragrance of the knowledge of God in a dark and dying world. The fragrance. Isn't it true that no sense remains in the memory like scent? Think about that, right? Some wonderful scents. Walk into a bakery. Yeah. Walk into a bakery. A coffee shop. Many of us love that. You walk in. Oh, the aroma, right? The fragrance. A sweet perfume. Not too much, but a sweet perfume, right? Right? So nice. And then there's some not so nice fragrances, right? Like a dead skunk in the road, right? But unmistakable. Or sewage. Awful, right? Or a guy who wears way too much cologne, right? Right, right? No offense, all right? So yeah. So again, Christ followers carry the fragrance of God. So our lives are to be salt and light, and you could add a fragrance, to carry a fragrance of the knowledge of God. So again, I want you to see in verse 14, and through us, right? Well, John 15, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. The vine bears the fruit through the branches. This is what's being said right here in verse 14. We are to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of God. God has designed that to happen through us, okay? Make it personal. God has saved you to use you. No exceptions. Hey, no exceptions. You can't look up here and be like, Pastor Boy, it's just you. No. Every single one of us alive in Jesus Christ. Okay? Through you, the fragrance of the knowledge of God. Us together collectively, 100% wonderful, beautiful. Okay? Very powerful and very awesome. That through us, God's design is that we are to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of God. So our lives, listen, communicate a fragrance, and other people pick up the fragrance, and they're like, hey, what's that smell, right? And we're going to learn some, it's really, really, like, they're really inquiring in a positive way, and others like, well, what's that smell, right? But it's here, as people ask, what's that smell? It's here that we are to communicate the gospel. We are to spread, again, by God's design, to carry the fragrance of the knowledge of God. Wow, that's so awesome. So we ask ourselves, listen, are our lives carrying the fragrance of the knowledge of God? So Lord willing, we're living our lives at work, we're living our lives in our neighborhood, we're living our lives at school, we're living our lives among family or friends or strangers. And there's people are like, hey, what's that smell, right? And see, that's our Holy Spirit door opportunity to be like, oh, I'll tell you what it is. It's the fragrance of the knowledge of God. It's the fragrance and the aroma of Christ, because he has changed my life and set me free. This is what you are picking up. This is what you are sensing, right? And that's, again, all of our lives, for those of us alive in Jesus Christ, this is life on mission. We are living a life where we are to carry the fragrance of the knowledge of God, notice, everywhere, everywhere. Beautiful, beautiful. So Paul understands this, man. He's being used in an incredible way as a missionary, and he is taking the fragrance of the knowledge of God, again, to see lives change in amazing ways throughout, really, the known world to him. Incredible, incredible. Everywhere, right? Great Commission. Make disciples of all nations. Everywhere. You should be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? Right? So to carry the fragrance of the knowledge of God. In a small, significant way, though, we just planted Upper Hamilton. Why? To spread the fragrance of the knowledge of God in a new place. We have a massive heart for missions in this church, okay? Led so well by Pastor Greg, okay? And a whole team around him, okay? Why? To spread the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. We just sent out missionary couples to be trained again to go to places in the earth where the gospel has not been proclaimed. Why? To spread the fragrance of the knowledge of God. Because when people carry the fragrance of the knowledge of God, other people's lives are changed forever. And they receive everlasting life and they are saved. This is the mandated mission of the church. We do it individually. We do it collectively. We do it locally. We do it nationally. We do it globally. Listen, listen, listen. Do not get to the end of your life and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be like, well, I was too busy to spread your fragrance. Right? Well, I didn't feel like spreading your fragrance. Like, one of the great stewardships we have in our lives is to carry and spread the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere, right? One of the great stewardships of our lives, okay? It's more important than your work. It's more important than your family. It's more important than, wait, did you say more important? Yes, I did. It's more important than your family. It is. It's more important than whatever ambition you have in this world. Like, that's all going to turn to dust. But the knowledge of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and for his glory, that lasts for eternity. Right? This is what Paul is saying, right? In the midst of the hardship, the mission arises. In the midst of the suffering, the mission arises. In the midst of the despair, the encouragement for the mission again arises. That we are to be led by God to spread the fragrance of God. God help us. God help us. Okay? Point number three. We are the aroma of Christ to God. Wow. Wow. Look at verse 15 now. Okay? For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. This is beautiful and powerful. So our context reveals here, as we spread the message of the gospel of Christ, okay, that's our context, this becomes an aroma rising from our lives to and into the nostrils of God. Think about that. So the fragrance of the message of Christ rises as an aroma of Christ and is pleasing to God. Love this so much. It reminds me of Acts 10, the Roman centurion Cornelius. An angel appears to him and says, your prayers and alms, your giving, have risen as a memorial before God. That is sacrificial incense language. Cornelius, your prayers and the life you are living and generosity is rising as incense to God. Like, I woke up this morning, I told you I was in Psalm 142. I read verse 1, hasten to me, and then I looked at verse 2, and it says, may my prayers rise as incense to you. And I'm like, okay, Lord, that is so encouraging for me today. Like, I'm just like, this is where I'm scheduled to be. I'm like tapping my Bible, you know, in the dark and just going, that is so encouraging for me. Because I just feel the Lord just bringing subtle, quiet forms of confirmation just to say, Robbie, go preach the word today. You know, and your prayers are being heard. Son, your prayers are being heard. They're rising as incense to the Lord, you know. And we live for Jesus Christ. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's an aroma rising up to God, which he's so pleased with. Loved ones, he's so pleased with. When you speak of Christ, there's an aroma of Christ going to God. When you live for the gospel, there's an aroma of Christ going to God. When you witness in your neighborhood, when you seek to love people in Jesus Christ, there's an aroma. What a beautiful image. So encouraging to me to think. We need to think on these things again more often. Our lives give an aroma to Christ. I think on the other side of this, though, right, what do we know? Well, often we're not pursuing an aroma of Christ to God. Often we are consumed with the world. And I think it's appropriate to say, Lord, forgive us for how so often we seem to want to smell like the world around us. How often we are attracted. Like, let's just be honest, in sin and the sin of the world is a smell of death. Right? Like when we want to smell like the culture around us, that is godless. We want to smell like the secularism or materialism. We want to smell like materialism. Right? At the end, like that's a smell of death. We want to smell like self or self-centeredness, which is our world is obsessed with, right? I think it's good for us to say, and I think it's important, Lord, forgive us. Lord, we repent of often being drawn to the smell of the world, which ultimately is the smell of death. And you're like, why? When you say it that way, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Why would I want to pursue the smell of death or aroma of death? I want to pursue the aroma of life and Christ. I know, me too. It's so good for us, though, to be honest about it and say, Lord, forgive me, forgive us for doing that, right? But now on the positive side, when we speak of Christ and preach Christ, there's aroma that rises to the heavens to the delight of God. Love that. Our lives are to be aroma of Christ to God. This past week, some of you might remember, it was this time last year, I went to Ottawa to visit Christian MPs. And to meet with a Christian senator, with a group of pastors across Canada. This past week, I did that again. This is our second time doing it in the last 2 years. And it's such an encouraging time. I feel blessed and humbled to be there. But essentially, we're going to encourage and pray for believing MPs and believing, again, politicians at Parliament Hill. And you meet with them. I'm always humbled and reminded, too, just how many of them, they're honest and vulnerable with us as well, you know, from across the country. They're honest and vulnerable, just how much they sense the darkness and the spiritual warfare of what they're doing. And how convicted they are to stand and give their lives for the things that matter. And they used to say, you know, one MP was saying, or several were kind of saying, you know, 20 years ago, the issues seemed to be about kind of economics and policies and things that were, you know, but now they're about like life and death issues, like life, like the Bible's very, very, very clear on. Like, this isn't like wondering what God thinks about this, you know, but issues that many of us are aware of too, when it comes to abortion or it comes to MAID or, you know, it comes to the understanding again of just like people or some politicians are trying to say that you preach the Bible, it's hate speech now, right? These things are being said out loud right now, right? So they're on the front lines and fighting in a way that is incredibly inspiring to me in some ways, and to see their hearts are not perfect. Of course not. But I believe they desire to stand for what they believe is true, to be an aroma of Christ to God. That's humbling to me. And just this past week, and just to say all of us, it's amazing how much they communicate to, how much they value the church, and how much they value us, understanding that the difference will be made with each life who loves Jesus Christ. That is the only way that effectual, lasting change is ultimately going to turn this nation around. It's through Jesus Christ. It's through you and I living this out and helping others to do the same. We are the aroma of Christ to God. The essence of Paul's point, though, is found in the second half of verse 15. Notice, the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Verse 16 now, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. So, again, within the Roman procession, the incense and aroma that would fill the air meant very different things depending on where you were situated, right? To the victorious Roman soldiers, this was a fragrance aroma of life and victory. But if you were a captured prisoner, this was an aroma that you smelt and you knew meant certain death. Almost always, the prisoners at the end of the procession were executed. That's almost always what happened, again, at the end of these things. So let's just be crystal clear on the screen for you, right? Just to make sure we summarize, we are the aroma of Christ to God. But here's what Paul's saying. To the lost, we are a fragrance of death. But to the saved, we are a fragrance of life. This is so true, isn't it? I think one of the clearest examples of this for me is to preach the gospel at a funeral. Because it's so often filled with such a mix of people, and so often there's people coming in who haven't been to church in years or ever at this point. And you preach, you seek by God's grace to preach a clear message of the gospel of hope, and for those who are saved, it's a fragrance of life. There's hope, there's tears of joy, there's perspective, there's love, and the believers there, and they smell the fragrance of life, and they're renewed as their purpose and why they live and the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. And then there's a whole category of people, and you can see it. You can see it. Sometimes I just got to look at my Bible and keep preaching what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Because you're just getting people staring at you, and it's like they're going to kill you. Okay? No, man, for real. You know, because, listen, the heart is hardened, and they pick up the fragrance of the gospel, and they see it as death. They want, they're hardened, resistant, rejecting, filled with pride against it. Do not speak to me about that, right? And so to some, the gospel is a fragrance of life. To others, it's a fragrance of death. Life to life, death to death, right? I mean, hard in some ways to read this, and yet we all know it's true. We all know it's true. But isn't it so wonderful when we proclaim Jesus Christ and people pick up the fragrance of life? Isn't it so beautiful to watch when people hear the message of Jesus Christ and they see their sin for what it is, and they understand in that moment that sin leads to death. They know that they are separated from God because of their sin, but then they see Jesus. They smell the fragrance of life in Jesus. They understand that he has paid for their sin, that he is the source of forgiveness, that he is the one who cleanses them with his blood, that he gives and grants the promise of everlasting life. For the person who sees and understands, they have never absorbed or taken in a more beautiful fragrance in their existence. And at that moment, as they breathe in Jesus Christ, they are saved. They are set free. They are reconciled to God. They are adopted into the family of God as a child. It is an awesome, beautiful, thrilling sight to watch. And you know what I mean. And we as a church, we get to watch these baptisms like every month. We watch these baptisms and we pray, Lord willing, a lot more are to come. And they testify to the fact that for a while they were taking in the smell of death to death, but then they truly saw Jesus Christ, they believed in Jesus Christ, and they inhaled the fragrance of life, and they are now changed forever. They will never be the same again. It is absolutely beautiful to watch. Let me ask you here today, I just got to ask this. Have you ever truly breathed in the fragrance of life that is found in Jesus Christ? Have you ever truly... Like, do you know what I mean in the last couple minutes that I've been talking? Hey, for those who have not, what are you waiting for? Right? What are you waiting for? Because the reality is, one of the ways you know you have not is, again, the world smells better to you than Jesus. Right? You're not living for Christ, you're living for the world. You're living for sin, you're living for self and pleasure, right? That's not what a true believer does. But what are you waiting for to truly embrace and to inhale, to smell, to take in the fragrance of Jesus Christ, which is life to life, eternal life, never to die again? That is the most beautiful fragrance you could ever truly. I pray in Jesus' name that could happen to you today. Sins are forgiven, set free, saved, child of God, the promise of everlasting life. And man, you have everything now to live for, because the Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow, 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 right? This is what Paul is saying. Listen, we are aroma of Christ to God, to some the fragrance of life, to others the fragrance of death. Hey, by the way, hey, expectations, right? Expectations, right? These believers that go out and say, I'm a Christian now. Everyone's going to like me. Well, you're going to be disappointed, right? You're going to be disappointed, right? I'm a believer now. God wants to use me. Yes? Amen? Amen? Yeah. And he's going to use me sometimes in rejection, and he's going to use me sometimes in acceptance, and people will come to Christ through my life. Unbelievable, praise God, right? Listen, both are going to happen, right? So you go out and say, I'm a nice guy, you know, all that. Yeah, you might be. It doesn't mean you're not going to be hated, right? Right? The Bible's clear, so let's not be discouraged. Paul, what's he? Renewing his mind, refreshing his heart. If anyone lived this out, it's Paul. So more fuel for life on mission, guaranteed victory by God, led by God, spread the fragrance of God, aroma of Christ, again, to God. And then number four, this: we are commissioned by God in the sight of God. We are commissioned by God. Man, what a beautiful. Look at, end of verse 16. Who is sufficient for these things? Like fragrance of life and death? Like, no one is. That's why we need the Lord so much, right? Verse 17. And he'll clarify that more next week. So come back next week. We'll get the sufficiency piece unpacked further. Verse 17. For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Wow. Paul says they are men of sincerity. meaning that word sincere was used holding up something to the light to verify its authenticity. He's like, yeah, I bring the light on my life. You will see my motives are pure. As opposed to the peddlers of God's word that are hucksters, con artists. Paul's motives, he says, are pure. Paul's not like, hey, buy this cloth on my TV program and give me $100 and you receive God's favor, right? That's what the peddlers of God's word do. Paul's like, no. I'm not that guy. He's not in it for himself. Notice, he's been commissioned by God in the sight of God. I love that. Commission could be sent from God. Life on mission, saved to sent. Yes. Sent from God. So we are sent by God, listen, in the sight of God. God is watching. I love that. So there's a sequence here. You know how much I love sequences. Let's go to a sequence here. So notice, first we're saved by God. Jesus Christ saves us. We are set free. We are new creations. And then next, we are sent by God, right? So we are saved and we are sent by God in the Great Commission. We are sent, life on mission, right? To witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this, in the sight of God, okay? We are saved. God is watching. God is observing. There's an accountability. In the sight of, that's really encouraging for me. Really encouraging for me. I hope it is for you too. Like he knows what's going on. It's not like he's distant and not involved. And then lastly, notice, we speak for God, right? We speak in Christ, the text says. So this is all of us right here, saved and sent in the sight of God, and then we speak for God. Every single one of us alive in Jesus Christ right now, right? This is our lives. Why? So that people would be changed and we are the aroma of Christ to God. We are commissioned by God in the sight of God. Hey, take that seriously. Take that seriously. Hey, listen. Again, this morning, looking outside and saying, life's going by fast. One life, loved ones. One life. One stewardship. One opportunity. Don't blow it. One stewardship. What? Saved, sent, in the sight of God, speaking for God. Right? Opportunity to live for the Lord in this way. This is such good fuel for our life on mission. Paul is in the midst of difficulty. He renews his mind to refresh his heart. Just by way of recap, we're at the gas station, we're getting fuel, or again, charging station, whatever you want to do, cleaning the windshield today, right? We are asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. What are we reminded? In Christ we win. We're led by God to be the fragrance for him, aroma of Christ to God, rising to the Lord, commissioned by God, and God is watching. Wow. Hey, Hope Oakville, what a great opportunity we have. What a great opportunity we have. Let's not waste it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray your word is speaking powerfully to your people. I pray that is a deep encouragement again to your church. And I pray, Lord, we be mindful right now in our lives, where we are, who we're with, and what you would have us do. Thank you for the example of Paul. Man, struggling so much, yet building his life on the truth of Jesus Christ. Suffering, yet he did not give up. Opposed, yet he pressed on. Amazing. Why? Because Jesus. That's why. Jesus. Help us to do the same. Again, use this church. We just so much want you to use the people of this church for our lives and our stewardship for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond in song.